Holy Ghost is God in the earth today, and you walk with Him by saying words. Well, today I would like to talk with you and begin a series on why we worship the Holy Ghost. That seems to be a good question because, you know, a lot of people don't. A lot of people find that to be a strange thing that comes to the ear. Well, why do you guys worship the Holy Ghost when it seems like others don't? Well, I'm going to delve into that this evening. So let's look at 1 Peter. Glory to God. Let's pray. Holy Ghost, I thank you that you are God in the earth today. I worship you. I give you glory and praise. I thank you that I'm anointed right now to say these words. And I ask you that the people's ears would be anointed, that they would hear them and know that it is you speaking to them as God in the earth today. We worship you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Well, the Holy Ghost said to me not too long ago, he said, if they knew me as God, they would worship me. You understand? If they knew him as God, well, we're supposed to worship God. So the problem is that people don't know him, the Holy Ghost, as God. Why do we worship God? Well, the number one reason, which is what we're going to talk about today, is that he is God. You should worship God, right? Yeah. If they knew me as God, they would worship me. Well, the fact is, he is God. And if you're hungry for more of God, you're going to be hungry for more of the Holy Ghost. And I think people understand that. They know, oh, I want more of the Holy Ghost. Well, he's God, and worshiping him will enable him to come into your life in a way that he can't up until now. So did you find 1 Peter? 1 Peter, let's look at chapter 3 and verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Now, as you begin to worship the Holy Ghost, and we'll get on into this farther as we go into the series, you'll have a better understanding who the Lord God is. Now, if the Holy Ghost is God, he's in the earth, he would be who we're talking about. He's the Lord God. It says right here, sanctify the Lord God where? In your hearts. And be ready always. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you. You see? Well, we worship the Holy Ghost, so we need to have a good reason to give to people when they go, well, why do you worship the Holy Ghost? Well, I'm hoping for those of you who do worship the Holy Ghost that this message tonight will give you a good answer to give people, right? It says, have an answer, so you'll have a good answer of why you worship the Holy Ghost. And people who don't worship the Holy Ghost, this message tonight should give you a good reason to start worshiping the Holy Ghost. You see? All right. I hope that makes sense. The fact is, he is God. Well, that should settle it. Honestly, when somebody goes, well, why do you worship the Holy Ghost? Well, the first point that we're going to have here is that he is God, and that should settle it. It'd be understand, you know, if they said, why do you worship the lamppost? Well, he's not God, he's a lamppost, right? You wouldn't worship the lamppost. Well, he is God, so worshiping him is a big deal. That's what we're supposed to do. Anyway, the fact is, he is God. That should settle it. Do you worship God? You know, we could ask a rhetorical question. They go, well, why do you worship the Holy Ghost? We could say, well, do you worship God? Well, and they go, well, yeah. Well, the answer is probably not. You understand? So anyway, so he is as much God. This probably will bug people. It shouldn't. It's included in their doctrine. He, the Holy Ghost, is as much God as Jesus is and the Father is. You understand? The Holy Ghost is as much God as Jesus is or the Father is, and therefore deserving of worship. Now, I really don't have a problem if somebody wants to worship Jesus. Oh, Jesus, I worship you. Or the Father. Father, I worship you in Jesus' name. I don't have a problem with that. But why do they have a problem if you go, Holy Ghost, I worship you? The Holy Ghost is as much God as the Father or Jesus, and deserving of worship, and in my estimation, I'm going to get into this as we go on here, even more so, he's deserving of our worship, because number one, he's God. Number two, it's his time. It's his dispensation. We're in the Holy Ghost dispensation. It is time. It's his time. Anyway, worshiping him may seem unusual at first. I know it did to me. Anybody else who's done it, they go, oh, I worship you, Holy Ghost. It seems a little unusual at first, but so did speaking in tongues. You remember that? Or so did laying on of hands. It all seems a little bit unusual because it's foreign to you. You don't understand it. You haven't been exposed to it, and you haven't done it enough to where it becomes common. Right? How about confessing the word the first time you had to speak to something, some inanimate object, tell it to do something? Right? Did that seem unusual? Yeah. But is it scriptural? Yes. Anyway, so most people, are you still here? Most people give lip service to this doctrine that the Holy Ghost is equal with the Father and Jesus. Most people give lip service to us. Their doctrine says that. Do you understand this? If you look up their doctrine at the church you attend, it says that the Holy Ghost is as much God as Jesus and the Father is. But they have no follow-through with the rest of their doctrine. It stops there. It's just a statement of lip service. Because if he was co-equal, if he was God, then they should worship him. But there's silence in that area. Crickets. There is no Holy Ghost worship. The words, I worship you, Holy Ghost, is foreign in almost every church. In fact, they look at you strangely. But this must change. You know, and admittedly, you go, well, do you worship the Holy Ghost? Well, they don't really, they don't sit down and say, I worship you, Jesus. Or they don't say, I worship you, Father. So, you know, you go, oh, you're supposed to say, I worship you, Holy Ghost. I mean, that's just another thing that they don't do already. Anyways, so why do I preach on this so much? Frankly, it's a message I've been given, and I have to be faithful to preach the message that I've been given. Do you understand that? It makes sense. If somebody was given a specific message on healing, right, then they would go forth and they would preach healing all the time. But here we have, so a lot of my ministry, a lot of my messages are kind of, it has an emphasis on the Holy Ghost and worshiping the Holy Ghost. Why? Because I was specifically given that message to bring forth, right? And that's why everything seems to be wrapped around that. Well, the other thing is, it really changes things. When you begin to worship the Holy Ghost, it starts to change all of the other things. But you know, I've been accused of not preaching other things. Well, they just don't know. I wrote these down just off the top of my head, things that I've preached on. I've preached other things. You ever been around where I've preached other things? Here's a short list that I could just think of off the top of my head. Repentance. I've preached on repentance. I've preached on forgiveness. I've preached on righteousness. I've preached on the love of God. I've preached on faith. You ever hear me preach on faith? I've preached on healing and the atonement. I've preached on the blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus, the gifts of the Spirit, hope. I was going to bring out all the CDs that we have freely available online. I've preached on hope. I've preached on the gifts of the Spirit. I've preached on the fear of the Lord, holiness, deliverance, prayer, prosperity, tithing, soundness of mind, renewing the mind. You remember any of these? The baptism in the Holy Ghost, laying on of hands, water baptism, communion, confession, the power of speaking God's word, the power of speaking in other tongues, fasting. You don't preach on anything. I preach on fasting, youth renewal, etc. This is a short list. Most of which, all of those things, most of which I've spent at least 3 weeks, sometimes 6 weeks, on every single one of those topics. So to only say that I only talk about the Holy Ghost and Holy Ghost worship, well, you know, that's really weak as far as a criticism goes. Goodness, you could criticize me on a lot better things than that. Now that I've said that, we worship the Holy Ghost, and Holy Ghost worship changes everything. That's why, you know, a lot of people will hear what I'm saying or hear, and it hits their ear foreign, because it's coming from a place of Holy Ghost worship, which has changed things. It's different, and they understand it's different, they recognize it's different. A lot of people don't want to go there. Where don't they want to go? They don't want to worship God. God who? God the Holy Ghost, who's in the earth today. Anyway, are you here? Oh, well, so it may seem drastic. Holy Ghost worship changes things. Now go to Acts chapter 24. Much as I can, I'll try to keep this short. Acts chapter 24. Verse 14, but this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers. Well, as we're going to see, the God of your fathers, who was he? He was the Holy Ghost, right? I will show you this. Just hold on. So, you know, they may call it heresy. So worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. Verse 16 says, and herein do I exercise myself. That's why I read that list. Because aside from worshiping the Holy Ghost, we believe just about all of the other things that everybody else believes, as long as they're believing things. You know, if they're describing it as it passed away or something, well, then, you know, we're not in that group. But we do believe all of these things. You understand? But we believe in worshiping the Holy Ghost, which it puts a different emphasis on it that, frankly, you can't even understand until you begin to worship the Holy Ghost. Anyway, are you getting this? So, it says we believing all things which are written in the law. We preach out of this Bible. We're saying all of these things. But it says we worship God. So worship I the God of my Father. So go with me to Revelations. All the way to the back of your Bible. In fact, go to the very back and flip a page over, because we're going to chapter 19 of Revelation. Revelations chapter 19. Well, let's just start at the end and work our way back. How about that? Let's see here. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 10. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant. He's talking about an angel. And of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, worship God. Is this in your Bible? Yeah, it says worship God. Now, you really shouldn't have to tell people this, but you do. What should you do to God? You should worship him, right? So really, now we just need to understand whether the Holy Ghost is God or not, and if he is God, then we should worship him according to this verse of scripture right at the end of the Bible. Worship God. Are you getting this? All right. And if we know him as God, we'll worship him. Go back to Revelations chapter 2. Revelations chapter 2, let's read verse 7. Now here we see the resurrected Lord Jesus appearing to the apostle John in a vision. And Jesus says to John, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. He didn't even say what I say. So here's the resurrected Jesus speaking to John and saying, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. And if you know anything about Jesus, you know that he was moved by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of the Lord came on him, and everything he did was by the Spirit of God, right? And here he's still doing it by the Spirit of God. Now, if you have Jesus saying, "He that has an ear to hear, hear what the Spirit says," what's Jesus saying? He's saying what the Spirit says. No, most people would agree Jesus is God. Why is God saying what somebody else is saying then? Because the Holy Ghost is God. I hope I'm getting this across. Just let this seep down in. Right, and he goes on, he says this time after time. Verse 11, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith." Verse 17, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith." So who's doing the saying thing? The Spirit is the one saying things, and Jesus is the one speaking it out by the Spirit. Are you here? So even Jesus resurrected speaking by the Spirit of God. So he was speaking as God to Jesus. He's still speaking today. You understand? Who? The Holy Ghost. He's saying things. He was saying things then. These things could apply to the church, right? Let him hear what he's saying to the church. Who's saying it? The Spirit is saying it to the church. He's still speaking today. You know, often you'll look at a verse of scripture and you'll say, "That Spirit, that scripture spoke to me." You ever said that? You could say that if you read your Bible enough. You'd be saying, "Oh, that scripture spoke to me." Who spoke to you? The Holy Ghost spoke to you. He's still speaking today. I think this is going to get across. I'm happy about it. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, verse 2, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said." Is he still saying things? Yeah. He's still God. He's still a divine person, and he's still saying things. He's a divine person who speaks. He said, "The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Well, who called Barnabas and Saul to the work? No one would argue if you said God called Barnabas and Saul. Yes. Would they? Who called you? God. Yes. God who? Well, specifically the Bible says the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." So who called them? The Holy Ghost. "And when they'd fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost." So the Holy Ghost called them, and the Holy Ghost anointed them, and the Holy Ghost set them forth. Who was the Holy Ghost? At least back then, he was God. You understand? A divine person in the earth speaking to people, saying things. Go to 2 Peter. "Brother, it sounds like you believe the Holy Ghost is God." Well, he is God. And I'm trying to get you to see that he's God so that you can take the very next step, which is to say, "I worship you, Holy Ghost." Because you shouldn't worship anything or anyone other than God. You understand that? So, what did I say? 2 Peter. Is this any good? Mm-hmm. This should help people who do worship the Holy Ghost with answers. And this should give answers to people who don't yet so they can start. 2 Peter, let's look at verse 20. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation," meaning it can speak to you, "for the prophecy of the Scripture came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God," holy men of God say, right, "spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." So these scriptures that we see here, we hold in our hand, were spoken and written down as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. We would say, "Oh, these things are the Holy Ghost, therefore, wrote these words." Do you see that? Here it says, you know, that not by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the will of the Holy Ghost. So here we have the Holy Ghost having his will, speaking to men so that they could get his word into the earth, and his word is via the Holy Ghost directly. You understand that? Okay, go to 2 Timothy. Right after 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Yeah. Chapter 3, 16. 2 Timothy 3, 16. For all scripture. Now remember, it was given by inspiration of the Holy Ghost, right? He moved on men, given by inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Here it says in verse 16, 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Well, we just read a verse of scripture where it was spoken by the will of the Holy Ghost, and then this scripture specifically calls him God. Are you getting this? All scripture is given by inspiration of God. We just read that they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Inspiration of the Holy Ghost. The Bible specifically calls him God. God who? God the Holy Ghost. He's God. He's a divine person. He still speaks. He's still speaking today. He spoke these things. The Bible specifically calls him God. Go to 1 Corinthians. Back a few chapters. You know, a lot of people would, you could look things up online and find out, you know, well, is the Holy Ghost God? Yeah. But you've got to apply that. Well, if he is God, well, what do I do with him? We worship God. You understand? They that worship God. We are somebody who worships God. Are you getting this? All right, 1 Corinthians, let's go to chapter 3. 3:16. Know you not that you are the temple of God? You are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. The Spirit of God dwells in you, therefore you are the temple of God. You just flip that around. Who dwells in you? God, the Holy Ghost. I'm a temple of God because God the Holy Ghost dwells in me. Does that make sense? What, know you not that you are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Go over to chapter 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 19. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? He just said you're the temple of God. Spirit of God dwells in you. Then he says, what? Know you not your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? That's the name of the God who is in you. His name is Holy Ghost. Are you here? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? You're not your own, bought with a price. You are bought with a price, therefore glorify or worship God in your body. Are you here? Who do you worship? You should be worshiping the Holy Ghost because he's God. The Bible specifically calls him God. The Bible specifically tells us to worship God. He is God. Are you getting this? All right. Now go to 2 Corinthians. See, faith comes by hearing. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's look at verse 16. And by the way, what does a temple do? What do you do when you go to the temple? The Old Testament, you go to the temple to worship God, right? Now you are the temple, so I guess you can worship God all day long if you want to, right? And should. Well, who do I worship? You worship the Holy Ghost because you're the temple of him. Making sense? Why do you worship the Holy Ghost? Because he's God and I'm his temple. Is this making sense? All right. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? And for you are the temple of the dead God. No, you're the temple of the living God. Now who would that be? It's got to be the Holy Ghost. You are the temple of the living God, as God hath said. Now, remember, take this all the way back to those other verses of Scripture that were written by inspiration of God the Holy Ghost, right? As God hath said, said this in the Old Testament, I will dwell in them. Who will dwell in them? Holy Ghost. I will walk in them. Who? Holy Ghost. And I will be their God. See? And they shall be my people. That's not going to happen if you don't worship the Holy Ghost. You got to worship God. You know, nobody'd have a problem with me saying that. You got to worship God. Take him by the collar. You got to worship God if you want God, right? But then you tell them, oh, he's the Holy Ghost, and they're like, oh, well, I don't know. That sounds like strange doctrine. This is not strange doctrine. This is straight out of chapter and verse. You worship God, the Holy Ghost. Are you getting this? If you knew him as God, you should worship him as God. So we've seen so far, we've seen all the way from the end of the Bible, right? In the book of Revelation, that the Holy Ghost is God, and we're supposed to worship God. And then we're coming back through the epistles here. Believe me, there are many more, and we'll get to more as we go on in this series. How about the Gospels? Now I'm gonna be brief here, because I've got a lot that I could say in the Gospels at a later time. But let's go to Luke. Luke chapter 4. I tell you, you know, I've been down this road so many times. Anytime you come to a new, Dad Hagin used to say, you know, like a cow at a new gate. You know, you stand there and you look at it like, I'm not going through there. I saw a picture the other day on the internet where these sheep, was literally looked like thousands of sheep, and the fence had been removed because the farmers had, you know, they're changing their property or whatever, and they still had just the fence posts and a gate, right? With the fence and the gate was open, literally no fence, no, the whole area was not fenced, but all the sheep were literally, you could see a perfect line of the property line, and half of them were looking out over like, why can't I go there? And all of the sheep funneled in and went through that one gate. It just shows you how, you know, people's mind only goes in the right one direction, you see. But every time you get something new presented to you, it's uncomfortable. It doesn't feel right at first, but then it begins to feel like this is right, and that other thing was not so right. Are you getting this? Okay. So Luke chapter 4, let's see here. Luke chapter 4, verse 14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. He taught in their synagogues, verse 15, being glorified of all. Verse 16, he came to Nazareth when he'd been brought up, as his custom was. He began to read. He found the place in Isaiah. Now remember, he's going to read a scripture. Are you here? Which means the Holy Ghost said it. In verse 18, he says, this is Jesus saying, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Who did Jesus say was on him? The Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord, that would be the Holy Ghost. For he hath anointed me to preach. Who anointed Jesus to preach? That would be the Holy Ghost. Are you here? He didn't just know, you know, Jesus is not the Holy Ghost, right? He didn't say, the Spirit of me is upon me, right? The Holy Ghost came on Jesus as the third person of the Trinity, as a divine person, and began to speak to him and anointed him. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. So there we see this in the Gospels. I won't read too much of that. We're going all the way back. Is this making sense? He called him Lord. Did Jesus call the Holy Ghost Lord?
Yes.
Yes, he did. He hath anointed me to preach. So who in it? Believe me, there's many more things I could take you to in the Gospels, and we'll get into them later. Look at Isaiah. If the Holy Ghost is God, you would worship him. If you knew him as God, you'd worship him. This is helping. Isaiah. Glory be to God forever. Isaiah chapter 40. Glory be to God forever. Are you there? Isaiah chapter 40. Let's look at verse 13. Find it? Isaiah 40, verse 13. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord? Or being his counselor hath taught him. Think about this. What is this implying? That because he's God, no one had to teach him anything. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord? Nobody directs him. In fact, he was in the Gospels, he was directing Jesus. Mm-hmm. Because Jesus came as a man. You understand? He set aside his deity and came as a man. He had to have God directing him. God who? God the Holy Ghost. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord? Or being his counselor has taught him? Mm-hmm. Nobody, because he's God. Does this make sense? All right. Is the Holy Ghost God? Well, yeah. How about 2 Samuel? You understand, I can't read all of the verses that speak of the Holy Ghost being God, but I can read some. 2 Samuel, and I picked these few because they say specific things, and we're giving a reason why we worship the Holy Ghost. Why we worship the Holy Ghost, meaning you, as opposed to somebody else who doesn't. You understand? Mm-hmm. All right, so 2 Samuel 23, verse 2. 2 Samuel 23, verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord spake. Are you there? The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. Who was speaking? Through Samuel. The Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Ghost, right? Well, was Samuel the prophet of God? Yeah. Was he required to say the things that God said? Yes. And then he says it was the Spirit of the Lord that spake by him. So the Spirit of the Lord is obviously God. I hope you're getting this. And if he is God, he is deserving of your worship. Meaning you use the words and say them out your mouth, I worship you, Holy Ghost. All right. You getting any of this? So let's go to Genesis. I wonder if we can find anything in Genesis that speaks to the deity of the Holy Ghost and him being God. I wonder. Shouldn't be too far, too hard. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1, right? Mm-hmm. And let's look at verse 1. In the beginning, somebody, God, right? Mm-hmm. God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. Here we have the first reference or description of any type at all in the Bible about who God is, and it says the Spirit of God. It didn't say Jesus floated on the face of the waters. It didn't even say the Father said something. It said the Spirit of God. Are you here?
Yes.
So am I being unscriptural to say that the Spirit is God? I hope not, because he is, and worshiping him should be the first thing we do. Anyway, are you getting this? Mm-hmm. So he is God, and we see him as God. We see him speaking, thinking, and acting as God. Well, we have to assume then that he is God, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you see Adam and Eve. I won't even take you there, but we see Adam and Eve knowing God as who? As the Spirit of God. He came to them in the cool or in the spirit of the day, and they communed with him. They knew him as God. So here we go, from Genesis all the way to Revelation, or from Revelation all the way to Genesis, we see him as God, acting as God, speaking as God. And if we know him as God, we should worship him. And that's what you should do. You should worship God. Then the Bible tells us to worship him. You understand that? Revelation, he said, worship God. So why do we worship God? Number one is because he is God, and he's deserving of our worship. John chapter 4 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him in spirit and in truth. Thank you for joining us. I pray for you right now, Holy Ghost. I thank you. I ask you to seal these words into people's ears and let them begin to worship you and be changed by your presence, by your glory, and by your amplified word, that it begins to lift them up to where they should be. I bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.